Well, good morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 23, that very well-known psalm, and I'm sure most of you don't even need to turn there. You can quote that by rote. Psalm 23, and we're going to read that whole psalm together. Those who haven't been here for a few months, when we have opportunity, we've been in this psalm, and today we're at verse 4 of this psalm, and we'll consider half of that verse together. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the glories of your word. Lord, we know that even now throughout this country and throughout the world, your word is being preached, and our prayer is that your people everywhere would be strengthened in their faith, that many would come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So come, Lord, we pray, by your Spirit, open our eyes that we may see wonderful things out of your law. And we pray this in Christ's name and for his glory alone. Amen. Psalm 23, and something I've mentioned every time we've been in that psalm, in the psalm, and it's a very important point, is that many people in the world take the psalm as a general psalm of comfort, and some who are dying would be, somebody would rush to open Psalm 23 and read it as a means of comfort to those who are dying. But the fact of the matter is, this psalm describes the benefits of the people of God. This psalm is for the sheep of the Good Shepherd. If you do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if he has not saved you, if you have not been given a new heart, none of these words are for you today. But they are for God's people and for his sheep alone. Our verse we're going to consider today is verse 4, and I'm not even going to get through the whole of that. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Now, up to this point in Psalm 23, it's the sheep that have been talking. In fact, it's almost like the sheep have been boasting, talking about that, boasting to the other sheep, to the neighbors, as it were, on the other side of the fence. "The Lord is my shepherd," they say, "I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." It's almost the sheep are talking, saying, "This is what I have," and perhaps pointing to the sheep in a nearby pasture who do not have these perfect blessings. But the psalm now addresses the shepherd directly here in verse 4. The personal pronouns I and me enter the conversation. As Philip Keller points out, it becomes a most intimate discourse of deep affection. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff will comfort me." As we will see in a moment, this is normal in the life of the sheep and the shepherd, given what is about to lie ahead in this psalm. In Psalm 4, so verse 4 of Psalm 23 has a twofold message for us today, and it's really simple and it's really short today. A twofold message. There's a message, first of all, of power. For the one whose life lies ahead of him as an untrodden path. For in some ways the real valley of the shadow of death lies not in death, but in our experiences on earth. And death is but a joyful release from life's trials as we enter into God's kingdom forever. So first of all, this is a message of power. Secondly, this psalm is a message of peace for the heavenly pilgrim nearing life's close. An application that has most often been used in this psalm over the centuries. Comfort, as it were, for the dying. Comfort for the pilgrim who's come to the end of his course. Like Paul who said, I have run the race. I have finished the good fight. There lies now for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will give to me. So two messages for us today in this psalm. Firstly then, we have a message of power for life's untrodden path. The winter at home is over now, where the sheep have been warm and comfortable, where the sheep have been in the pen, or perhaps even in a barn if there's severe weather and the shepherd has those facilities for them, and he's had lots of pasture for them to feed on and lots of water during these winter months. But the winter is over, summer is coming, and the long trek into the high country, into the summer ranges, begins here. The shepherd owner must lead his sheep into unknown hill country and mountain meadows. The summer will be spent in close companionship and the solitary care of the good shepherd. And we know that both in Palestine and in our western sheep ranches, this division of the year is in fact common practice. And it's quite normal because the good pastures in the summer are up on the hills. And the farmer could not possibly feed a big flock from his own pastures right there, perhaps in the valley or at the home ranch. And the sheep need to venture out in the summer to find good grazing and good water. Now as summer approaches, most of the efficient sheepmen endeavor to take their flocks onto distant summer ranges during the summer. The sheep move slowly along, feeding as they go, gradually walking up, making their way up the mountains behind perhaps the receding snow of winter. And when they reach the top and they've reached their pastures and they spend the summer moving to different hills and meadows to feed, and autumn sets in, and again the sheep are driven down to lower elevations. And towards the end of the year, when fall passes and winter sets in, the sheep are driven home to ranch headquarters, if you like, where they will spend the winter once again. And that is the part of the psalm, 23, that is discussed in the last half of the psalm, as we'll see in time to come. Now, it's during this time, up the mountains via the valleys, is when the flock is entirely alone with the shepherd, in personal contact day and night. And so the intimate first-person language that we see in this psalm and in this verse. Against the backdrop of wild mountains, rushing rivers, alpine meadows, high ridgelands, with the added danger perhaps of the wild animals and the wolves and coyotes and other wild beasts that may prey in these regions on the sheep as they venture up into the high ground. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now David, who wrote the psalm, of course, knew exactly what this terrain was like firsthand. You may remember when Samuel was sent by God to anoint him king over Israel, he wasn't home. He wasn't home at the home ranch where his brothers were and his father was and the family was, but David was just a shepherd boy. And he was out in the fields, and they had to go into the fields and call him back. He was up in the hills tending his father's flock. No wonder he could write so clearly of the relationship between a sheep and its shepherd, because in those summer months, he lived in close contact with all of his sheep. He knew firsthand experiences of the difficulties and the dangers, as well as the delights of the trek into that high country. So it's to the high country that the sheep must go. But why up through the dangerous dark valleys with its high cliffs, the animals, the summer storms with the driving sleet rain that can appear in an instant in the afternoon as the fog clouds roll over the mountains and down the valleys? You may ask the same question today and say, why? Why all the dark trials? Why should we as believers have to go through so many dark providences? Why, once we become Christians, can everything not just become smooth for us? Well, the shepherds give three reasons why the sheep have to go to the high ground, to the better places, to the better feeding meadows. They give three reasons why they should go up via the valleys in these dangerous places. First of all, first reason is valleys are the easiest, gentlest way of getting to the high ground. Valleys are the easiest, gentlest ways of getting to the high ground. And you may have gone hiking in the mountains before. So all of you at some time or another ventured inland to California or other places where they're nice big mountain ranges. Back in South Africa, we used to visit the Drakensberg and go camping and go hiking as school children to those mountains. And you had this huge mountain before you. And there's just no ways you could just walk straight up that mountain. You had to go into the valleys and the elevations and to meander your way up to the high places. That is the easiest way to get to the summit. Even so, in our Christian lives, our growth in grace upwards often come through dark valley experiences. Even as Christians, our growth in grace often come to us through dark valley experiences in our lives. Listen to what Keller says. Again and again, I remind myself, oh God, this seems terribly tough. But I know for a fact that in the end it will prove to be the easiest and gentlest way to get me onto higher ground. Then when I thank him for the difficult things, the dark days, I discover that he is there with me in my distress. And somehow in a serene, quiet way, I am assured that all things will turn out well for my best. Because he is with me in the valleys, and all things are under his control. This verse that you know so well, Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose. The second reason that the sheep are taken to the mountaintops by the valleys is not only that these are the gentlest grades, but also it is the well-watered route. The valleys and the way to the high ground through the valleys is the well-watered route. Refreshing water all the way through rivers, streams, pools, quiet pools and springs. The long summer can be hot and tiresome, and flocks will experience intense thirst. So it's important as the shepherd drives his sheep that he drives them through places where there is plenty of water to drink. And so too we will discover in our Christian lives, sooner or later, that it is in the valleys of our lives that we will find refreshment from God himself. It is when things are at their most difficult that we find that the Lord to be closest to us and to bring us refreshment. It is not until we have walked with him through some very deep troubles that we discover that he can lead us to find our refreshment in him right there in the midst of our difficulty. Keller says again, most of us do not want the valleys in our lives. We shrink from them with a sense of fear and foreboding. Yet in spite of our worst misgivings, God can bring great benefit and lasting benediction to others through these valleys. Let us not always try to avoid the dark things, the distressing days. They may well prove to be the way of greatest refreshment to ourselves and to those round about us. And the third reason shepherds give us, the reason why sheep are to go through the valleys to get to the high places, the rancher chooses to take his flock into the high country by way of the valleys, is that it is generally where the richest feed and the best forage is to be found along the route. There is food along the way, good pastures up through those dangerous valleys. The flock is moved along gently. They are not hurried. There are lambs there which have never gone this way before. And the shepherd wants to be sure that there is not only adequate water, but the best grazing along the way. The best meadows are in the valleys along the banks of the streams. And here sheep can feed as they make their way to the high country. So it's all very much common sense in what the shepherd does to drive his sheep to the high country. They need the gentle graze. They need water to drink during the hot summer driving up to the high meadows and ranges. And they need constant good feed in their trek to the high country. The shepherd is always aware that there are in these valleys steep cliffs and there are canyons. There are dangerous footholds that the sheep could lose at the edge of a cliff and a steep path. There are wild animals lurking. These valleys might be subject to sudden storms and flash floods that send walls of water rampaging down the slopes, rock slides, snow avalanches, and a dozen other natural disasters that can destroy or injure the sheep. But in spite of all these hazards, he also knows, a good shepherd knows, that it is still the best way to take. A good shepherd spares himself no pains and trouble or time to keep an eye out for the danger that might develop along the way. And once again, David, the shepherd, knew what it was to defend his sheep against a lion and a bear with his club and his staff. And a good shepherd is always on the lookout for his sheep under these dangerous circumstances. Now David would have understood the Lord Jesus Christ's words so well when many years later Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Oh, David would have understood this so well. Keller says again, it is a most reassuring and reinforcing experience to the child of God to discover that there is, even in the dark valley, a source of strength and courage to be found in God. It is when he can look back over life and see how the shepherd's hand has guided and sustained him in the darkest hours that renewed faith is engendered. I don't know about you, but I know nothing which so stimulates my faith in my Heavenly Father as to look back and to reflect on his faithfulness to me in every crisis and every chilling circumstance of life. When we're in the valley and things are falling apart, it's hard and it's difficult. But when we have come through and we look back, we can say, great is thy faithfulness. And we are strengthened in our faith because of that very dangerous or difficult experience that we have been through. Let come what may. Storms may break about me. Predators may attack. The rivers of setbacks may threaten to inundate me. But because He is in that situation with me, I shall not fear. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. My friends, there are going to be some valleys in our life for all of us. The Good Shepherd Himself assures us that. In John 16:33, He says, "In this world you will have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world." The question is not whether you've had many or few of these valleys or dark experiences, or whether these valleys are really dark for you, or perhaps just merely dim with shadows. But the question is, how do I react to them? How do I go through them? How do I cope with the calamities that come my way? With Christ, I can face them calmly. With His gracious Spirit to guide me, I can face them fearlessly. Listen to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7. Listen to these words. "But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be consumed, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you up. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no matter how dark that valley may be for you today, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." But not only does Psalm 23 verse 4 speak of God, our shepherd's provision for the valley experiences of the believer, but it has also been used to bring comfort and peace to the heavenly pilgrim nearing life's close. So we have, secondly, the message of peace from this psalm, the message of peace for those who would come close to life's end. The Good Shepherd's provision for his sheep when they come to cross that last bridge for the believer, the death of our physical bodies. Perhaps there's something here in these verses that can prepare us for that last hurdle for the believers to cross before he goes to glory. And young people, you may be thinking, I'm 20 years old, what's he talking about? Well, a work colleague of mine, I was at his funeral last week. He contracted cancer, and in 2 weeks, he was dead. He was my age. He was my age. And so perhaps these verses should be a stern reminder to us that death, physical death, is coming. And even the believer needs to be prepared for that day. And perhaps these verses can help us. Something in here that can prepare us for that last hurdle to cross before we go to glory. Now, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, many of you familiar with him, died some 30 years ago now, I think. After many years of faithful Christian ministry, you can still listen to his sermons today. He was lying on his deathbed at a ripe old age, and this is what he said. I have not prepared my people for death. I have not prepared my people for death. And while this verse certainly addresses the difficulties that believers must now face in this life as we follow Christ, perhaps it addresses for us as believers too that one great certainty that we will face every one of us in this life unless Christ comes again before then. That certainty is death. Psalm 23, a psalm of God's abundant provision. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want in any sphere of life or death. In our passage today addresses the question of God's provision in this dark valley, the valley of the shadow of death. Now the fear of death is something which is as old as death itself, and a subject we have to work through even as believers. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 15 tells us that there were those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. My uncle at my grandmother's funeral back in South Africa many, many years back is not a believer. My father was there and the casket was open and I was just a little boy looking in and more curious than anything else. But my uncle, who was not a believer, turned to my father, his brother, and said, "Ken, I'm terrified of dying. I'm terrified of dying." But friends, for the Christian believer, there is no need for uncertainty. There is no need for alarm. Because God's view of the believer's death is given to us when the psalmist writes in 116 and verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints." That is how God views the believer's death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And God's view of our death in itself should bring us great comfort to the believer. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, "But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The gospel robs life of its bitterness and it robs death of its sting. The gospel robs life of its bitterness and death of its sting. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Let's note that the death for the believer is a very brief encounter. Death for the believer is a very brief encounter. It's not a permanent state. It's not even a semi-permanent state where we go into this place of waiting that some talk about, but away from the body, present with the Lord. That last bridge that we cross it's not walking down a long street. It's just crossing that street. It takes 30 seconds to cross a street. Death for the believer is a very brief encounter. It's a short bridge to cross at the end of our earthly lives. And here as always, we need not fear for this last uncertainty, for he is with us. "Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory?" Listen to Romans 8 and verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amid all of life's uncertainties and the many precautions we take against uncertainties, yet there is one great certainty for which so few people prepare. This is one great certainty. We will all die. Death is inevitable. It is the one sure thing each one of us will have to face unless Christ comes again before that time. Am I prepared for death today? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, "For me to live is Christ, and to die would be gain"? And a few verses later he says, which by the way would be better by far, to go and to be with the Lord. My friends, this psalm in verse 4 brings us great comfort to the believers in the last hour facing this great uncertainty. This one thing nobody can write about. Nobody can report back to us about. Nobody's written books about. A few have claimed, but that doesn't happen. Nobody can tell us. This is a great uncertainty. This last bridge that we must cross, passing from life to death, except our Savior. But for the believer, this is sure. Surely, but just a brief moment. When we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. We need not fear, for He is with us. As in life, He is with us to guide us and to lead us through the darkest trials. So in death, He is with us to receive us into His kingdom. To John chapter 14. And verse 6, Jesus talking to His disciples just before He left, and they were becoming anxious. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And when we lose a loved one, and when we lose someone who has loved the Lord Jesus Christ, for those of us who are left behind when we have lost someone in Christ, we mourn, yes, but we are not anxious. We are not uninformed. We are comforted in our affliction, for He is with us through that valley. We need not fear for those who have fallen asleep, as 1 Thessalonians describes it. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 13. Paul writes and he says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. When we together again, Lord willing, in this psalm, we will look at the means God uses to comfort us as we pass through the valley of the shadow of death and the trials that we will face in this life, with the help and the comfort that we get from His rod and His staff. But as we close today, let us take great courage even count it all joy, as James tells us, as we face trials of many kinds, as we pass through the valley of the shadow of death many times in our lives, for we are moving to higher ground. And God is using these dark valleys, these difficult providences, so that we will pass to perfect us, to cause us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to bring us to maturity in Him, to teach us to trust Him and to rejoice in each and every circumstance, that we might be mature in every good work to the praise of His glory. And may God by His Spirit prepare us and our loved ones, as we will one day be at death's door, that we may on that day be prepared and unafraid and full of joy and hope and anticipation as we cross that last bridge to be with Him forever, to sit down and feast with Him at that table which He has prepared for us. And then I must warn those of you today who are without Christ, without God and without hope in the world. I must say, just as William Shakespeare did, if 20 years is taken off your life, you have 20 less years to worry and to fear death. Come to Christ. Call on the name of the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Trust Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Believe on Him. The Lord can become your shepherd today. Call upon Him while He is near. Confess your sin. Repent and turn from sin and self. And trust Christ. Trust Him. Ask Him to give you a new heart. Ask Him to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that you, together with the believers, hundreds and millions of them, may one day enter into His presence without fear. That we may one day face death without fear, but anticipation and with great joy. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Here's the promise. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Can you say today, in life and in death, whatever comes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, our Shepherd, our Saviour, our Priest, our King, we marvel at Your great provision that You have made in Your Word for us, Your people. How we thank You, Lord, even for the trials that we face in our lives, for we know that the testing of our faith produces endurance, and we know that You are refining us. We know that You are changing us from an ever greater degree of glory to the next, to be conformed to the image of Your dear Son. Oh Lord, we thank You for the encouragements that are ours as we look back over our lives, having come through many dark valleys, and we look back and see the Lord has been with us. Great is Thy faithfulness. Lord, as we face the challenges of this new week, as we face the challenges of our lives, no matter how young or how old we are, may this indeed be our motto, even though we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, that we will fear no evil, for Thou art with us. How we thank You, Lord, for Your great provision as our Shepherd, Saviour, Friend and King. And our prayer is that we may indeed live to Your glory. Lord, if there are some here who are strangers to You, who have not come to confess their sins and call upon Your name, we pray, O Lord, by Your Spirit this day, would You not turn them to Yourself? Would You not draw them to Yourself? Would You not give them new hearts? Would You not cause them this day to call upon Your name and be saved, that they with all God's people may say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. We thank You, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.